Guys, you've heard about Ageless Male, the natural supplement that helps boost testosterone levels within normal, healthy ranges. But now, the best testosterone product is even better. New and improved Ageless Male can help you feel more like you used to in your active life and in your romantic life. Because our upgraded formula has been clinically shown to increase your drive, desire, and performance. That's right, guys. Ageless Male has been clinically shown to boost performance. Cancel your plans this weekend, you're staying in. If you're ready to recapture the drive from your youth, now is the time to try Ageless Male because it's available risk-free. But you must call now. Just call 1-800-495-3203. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-800-495-3203. That's 1-800-495-3203. 1-800-495-3203.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Everybody get ready for Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. A foodie born and bred, my wife Nikki loves chatting up chefs, dining out, and insider industry buzz.
And my husband David thinks a great meal is nothing but a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Because he is cheap.
Well, maybe so, but Foodie married Beast anyway, and together we've got the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking.
It's Foodie and the Beast, and we are on now.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. And just to clarify, I'm not cheap, I'm careful.
No, he's cheap.
No, I'm careful.
He's God.
All right,
cheap.
We have got... Stop talking. We have a jam-packed show today.
We do.
Sitting to my left is Chef Malcolm Mitchell, who was on the Next Food Network Stars Season 8. He was a chef testant there. He loves soul food. He's got lots of confidence, I can tell you from sitting next to him. Absolutely. And he's here in D.C., and we're going to find out what he's been up to and what he's going to be up to shortly.
Okay, and Evening Star Restaurant, the Delray Gem, is celebrating 15 years. A hard thing to do.
Isn't that a neighborhood restaurant group?
Yes, it is.
Restaurant? Why? What do you know?
How do you know that?
Because they're our sponsor.
Michael Bavin is in studio. His first time. Been on the air for how long? Anyway, he's here. He's in studio.
That doesn't sound right. It makes it sound like we haven't invited him.
Oh, we've invited him. He just doesn't come.
He's shy.
And pastry chef and cookbook author Paula Scheuer, the kosher baker. She is in studio. She's going to tell us all about kosher baking.
So there's no shrimp in the pastry.
No, okay. It's not a lot. There's no butter
right.
either.
And Emily, we got a lot of Food Network stuff going
I know.
On here. Emily Sprisler, who was on Top Chef Season 2. She's the executive chef and owner of the new Mayfair and Pine. She's in with a lot of food, which makes her one of my favorite guests already. And because I'm easy.
Right.
Cheap.
Easy and
like
cheap.
Easy
right.
And
this
cheap.
Is free, and this is why he does it.
Easy and
You're
cheap.
Easy like Sunday morning.
And we've got Justin Sins, who has one of the best last names. Yes, ladies, that's S-I-N-S.
It's going to get sinful in the studio.
Oh, that's so obvious. Why do you go for the obvious guest?
Because that's all I have.
All right, and he's in with Perry Smith. They're both from Matchbox, and you know, Matchbox is known for their mini burgers and pizzas, but they're also looking to become known for their new cocktail program. And Justin is going infusion cocktails, yeah?
Yes, sir.
Infusion.
See,
okay,
see,
you need
did,
to move that mic
did my homework.
Closer to your face.
Right
there
about
you go.
And
yeah.
We're also going to have a special call in from the field. Mitch Berliner is out at the Bethesda Central Farm Market. Another sponsor I'd like to add. Mitch, are you there?
Yes, I am, and don't let me come down and separate you children.
Hi, Mitch. How are you?
Hello, Bobby. All right, so I'll say ready, go. Tell us what's going on at the market today.
Well, first, I want to thank you again for having us on the show and say good morning to all the fans of Foodie and the Beast, and appreciate being here. I want to also shout out that we now have three locations serving with over 50 farmers and artisan food producers. We have a location near American University. We have our flagship original location downtown Bethesda and our newest location in the Rockville, North Bethesda area, right on Rockville Pike in the fabulous new Pike and Rose mixed-use project, which is really going to be the jewel of Montgomery County.
Well, you know, I just have to tell you, Mitch, we did go to the new Rockville market, and it is phenomenal. I can't believe how many vendors you have there.
Thank you. Thank you. And it's really unique in the fact that we have Federal Realty put a beautiful park in the center, and it's really becoming a focal point for the community. People come, they hang out, they buy food to take home, they enjoy hanging out. It's dog friendly, kid friendly. We have wine tastings, special events for kids and all that.
And I'm sure Federal Realty appreciates that plug, Mitch. Nicely done, subtle, but direct.
Very good, and they really know the importance of a farmer's market and in creating community.
All right, well,
and
tell us some of the key things that are in the market, you know, at the beginning of August. Like, what are some of the things we can find in the markets today?
Right. I will tell you that, and then I just want to tell you about our pie contest right after.
Oh, that's right.
As far as what's in the market, the truth is right now, this is the zenith. This is it. There are probably, as I'm looking out at our almost 50 vendors and artisan food producers, orchard people, you name it, I see probably 20 varieties of tomatoes, every kind of melon, numerous kinds of peaches, nectarines, white nectarines, yellow nectarines, every kind of lettuce. I mean, this is the zenith. You've got everything here. Obviously, we have our meats in this market. Of course, our Bethesda market's open year-round, and your fans out there can just Google Central Farm Markets, plural, centralfarmmarkets.com, and you can get the exact hours and location.
Okay, let's talk quickly about this pie contest.
Okay.
Because I got a baker in studio.
Right. So, fabulous. I urge them to come, and it's on Sunday, so they don't have to come for Shabbat. They can come.
Okay,
and, anyway,
bring the mishbuch up for Shabbat.
Yeah. Not Shabbat.
So anyway, it's the first weekend. It's the Labor Day weekend, Sunday, and we have fabulous people from all over the metropolitan area. It's our third annual. Great, great prizes, lots of fun, and, of course, pie eating. So, David, I know you need to be there.
And, is it true that pie are square?
Most important, all the
just
money
you, honey,
that we raise goes to the Manna Food Bank.
Excellent.
So it's all you bakers out there. Just go online again. Just Google centralfarmmarkets.com. You'll learn all about the contest.
Excellent. All right, Mitch, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. So let's get back over to Justin. Justin Sins, you are Matchbox's resident infusion specialist, and I have a first leading question for you. What the
Please.
Hell does that mean? Thank you.
So when we started thinking about how we were going to revamp the menu, two things. You know, we want to be able to make good cocktails, but it's hard for us to do, you know, those nice fancy cocktails with 13 different ingredients because we're a big restaurant, we're a big bar, we've got to, you know, really bang out drinks.
Well, so you're packed.
Yeah, all the
so
time.
We've got a lot of people to help out.
Which is a blessing. And
we've been to Rockville. We've waited for 45 minutes.
So wait, it's Rockville, Capitol Hill, and Chinatown, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir, with T Street on the horizon coming up. So we wanted to create drinks that would be good and fancy, but quick. So we let time do a lot of the work, and what we do is, you know, basically we take an old frat party trick and kind of class it up and jazz it up. So we're marinating jalapenos and
oh,
tequila.
Oh, well, you say to the girl, come and listen to my Beatles
like,
albums?
Like jungle juice at the that freshman trick? Year frat party, yeah. Except,
so wait,
know,
are you doing Jell-O
kind of
shots?
Kind of updated. You know, so what we're doing is we're marinating for about a week and a half, mint with bourbon, jalapenos and tequila, watermelon and vodka. We're starting to play around with barrel aging. We're barrel aging some vanilla and bourbon, some sake stuff. So we're just kind of playing around right now. We threw this out to our bartenders at Rockville and at Capitol Hill and at Chinatown and to our Ted's Bulletin bartenders in Eastern Market. And they came up with, we started with about 60 cocktails, whittled that down to 30, and then in a very passionate six-hour meeting, whittled them down to the 14 that made
the list. Do you
want
to describe that passion?
I really don't think it's okay for me.
Were these like children, like, you know, picking which children?
No.
Okay.
No. But again, probably not safe for radio. But we came out with a pretty solid list of 14 drinks that we're really excited about. So I'm going to start us off this morning with a mint bourbon-infused whiskey smash.
Rock and roll, my
okay, friend. So what is in that? Just
It's very simple. It's it is mostly mint-infused bourbon, and top it off with a little bit of Sprite, a little bit of sugar to sweeten it up, and we'll splash a lime.
Hey, awesome. Well, we're going to tell you to get to it.
All right, yes, ma'am.
It sounds like a good drink to start your morning off with.
Well, while we're doing that, we're going to get to a guy that is very low energy. It'll be very, you know, easy.
Yeah, this
going.
Will be a quick interview.
Yeah, Malcolm Mitchell. Malcolm Mitchell was a contestant on the Next Food Network Star. He made it.
Season 8.
Season 8.
Yes.
Deep in.
Deep in.
Didn't make it to the finish line.
No, I made it out of 10 episodes, 10 challenges. I made 8, and I should have made to 9. I think the last one I got hosed a little bit on that one.
Those dirty rats.
Yeah.
Well, for people who
and I made a cocktail, too, to the bartender over there.
Okay.
I might give you this recipe, too. It's an apple cobbler cocktail. Delicious.
Well, so for people who maybe aren't that familiar with the process of the Food Network Star, who have, you know, what it's like.
Right.
Tell people how you got into it and how you worked through it, because you're gone for how long? How long were you gone for?
Yeah, we were gone taping for about 8 weeks.
8 weeks.
So basically, you know, you say you want to be a star, you think you got what it takes, so
right.
You get go to the next level and try to audition. So you audition a little bit, and if you make it to the next round, they want to see more of you. You go through all these casting calls, but you go through casting calls with people who are not like foodies. They're mm-hmm. just actually TV people. And then if you get past them, then you go to the next level where it's about food a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And the process took about maybe 3 months to actually get on the show. And when you get that call that you're actually going to
really,
be on the
that
show.
Long?
Yeah, it took about 3 months to get
I
on the show.
I think everybody thinks they go, oh, yeah, you and you're on.
No, it's a long process. I mean, they got casting calls all throughout the country, and they even did one.
And then did you have to write a cookbook, too? Didn't you have to put a – did they make you put, like, a cookbook together?
No,
the cookbook – I'm hearing that from somebody else.
The cookbook is actually the recipes that we've done on the show.
Okay.
So they – you know, they get all those recipes that we've done on the show throughout the show, and then they make a cookbook. So it'll be a Food Network Star season
eight
cookbook.
Do they share the revenue from that with you guys?
Absolutely not.
What a deal.
Not a penny. You actually get, your per diem is like $60 a day. So for people who want to go out for it, you know, you just get a low per diem. You don't get paid. Most people think you get paid for that show. No, you don't at all. You just get the exposure afterwards. And
right.
The pay comes later.
Well, yeah. And what about, so you were on Bobby Flay's team.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Like, so,
did
so
he
this
mentor
year they,
you and help
yeah,
you?
Yeah, so this year they switched it up.
Okay.
We were on teams, so we all had mentors. So you had Bobby Flay, which I was on his team. You had Alton Brown and Giada.
Mm-hmm.
So they were supposed to be our mentors, and whoever wins won that the show, they would produce their pilot, and they produced their show.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, Bobby was our mentor with food and, you know, on air personality, talking, being, you know, kind of charismatic to the camera, and give us little pointers on food so that he was there for us.
Well, let me ask you something, because both Bobby Flay and Giada De Laurentiis have been on the show, and they seem very...
Because we're really cool.
God.
Absolutely.
Save me, Lord. But they seem very genuine and easygoing. Is that how they are with you guys? Or are this
Bobby is just laid back. I mean, he's real cool. I mean, he didn't really give us a lot about talking about food. It was more because his situation where it was like, listen, you know, I'm a chef, and that's first and foremost. If you already know how to cook, I can teach you how to be that person that in front of the camera.
An on-air personality.
An on-air personality, mm-hmm. and be dynamic, and be charismatic, and all those buzzwords that, you know, camera people want and television mm-hmm. producers want. So his thing was like, he was just trying to tell us to be comfortable in our skin. That was his mentorship that he was doing for us.
But what about during these challenges that they throw your way? I mean, they're screwing with your mind a bit. So how do you overcome that when you're also being filmed for television?
For me, whoever watched the episodes, like on the first episode, I was a little tense, a little anxiety, because you're mm-hmm. like, wow, I'm actually here. You see it on television all these years, and then you're actually in this spot. So what I did, I just try to focus on the food. And when I focused on the food, just to be natural, I wasn't trying to be what I thought the Food Network wanted me to be. I was just trying to be who Malcolm was.
All right. Well, let me sort of switch subjects here. Let's talk about who Malcolm is now. What are you up to now?
Right now, I'm actually working on a restaurant in Richmond on Main Street, Chaco Bottom area. So we just will be signing a lease come next week. And I'm actually working on some other projects in DC.
So you're
going
to move to Richmond?
Well, I'm back and forth. So I'm working on projects here as well. I'm working on a restaurant called Peaches Cafe and Lounge. I'm actually developing the menu in the back of the house for them, which is in Upper Marlboro. And mm-hmm. I'm doing a new project that's coming online probably in November called Puff. It's a cigar bar that's right next to Ozio's. So we're going to be working on that as well. So
well,
I'm moving and shaking. I'm trying to do my thing.
And so what about with the Food Network people? I mean, do they try to, like, bring you back in to do things? Like, is there a season 8 tour? Or are there other ways that they try to help market you more?
Well, that's to be honest with you, like, I did a tour. I did my own tour. Uh-huh. And it was sponsored through U.S. Foods. Quick plug there. I threw that in there.
Okay.
But U.S. Foods did sponsor a tour for me, and I did a viewing tour.
Wait, do you want to say U.S. Foods one more time?
U.S.
We can say
Foods,
it one more
U.S.
time.
Foods.
A man after my own heart.
But
doesn't help if I say it. I'll say it too. U.S. Foods.
But they really didn't do a lot of marketing.
Did you just say U.S. Foods?
Yeah, U.S. Foods. Let's get that in there. But they really, we did our own marketing. We did our own PR campaign, and we did a tour. I'm under contract with the Food Network. So if ever they want to pull me back in for the next 6 months, they can. But,
so do they try to take you to sort of the food shows and things that are do they want that or no?
Well,
or is that more
what
like
they
Top
want
Chef?
Now, actually, Justin Warner, and big ups to him, who actually won the show. They want to show give him a little shine since he won the show. So they're going to probably work with him as far as the next 6 months. And then after that, they'll start working with other Food Network stars. I know there's always a Food Network star chop challenge that they.
Now, I heard you went around and put cat food in everybody else's dish. Is that true?
Wait, we have to take a break. Malcolm,
okay,
hold on
one
sec. All right, we'll be back just
We'll wait and find out.
This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. I see cocktails in my future. We'll be back in just a sec.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on 1500 AM at 10 AM. Please join me this week for my special guest, Eddie Pham, founder of Impact Marketing and Events and also Networking for Good. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by the full-service law firm of Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, always at your side. For more about the firm, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
The job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview, and I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C. Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for Chronic Obstructive Pulmonary Disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it. And COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
Hi, this is O'Donna Matthews. What does 3 decades of service add up to? For the Capital Area Food Bank, it includes these important numbers. Distributing 25 million pounds of food to nearly 500,000 people through a network of 700 partner agencies. 30 years, it's a long time, but the mission continues to make sure that no one is left hungry. To learn more, contribute, or volunteer, visit CapitalAreaFoodBank.org.
That's right, we are all shining stars here. We're back on Foodie and the Beast with the lovely, gorgeous, tanned Nikki Nellis and the ever-patient, long-suffering David Nellis. And we're talking to Malcolm Mitchell. Malcolm, you got a restaurant coming up in Richmond.
Well, can I ask a question? Unless you have a question. Are you just, like, listing things? Do you have an actual question?
Oh, my God. This is why. This is what's wrong with marriage.
Because... I have a question. So how long were you... When you were away, were the living conditions like?
Oh, so I was away for
about... away sounds like prison when you say that. You went
when
away.
When I was on lockdown.
when you mean
three square meals
you
a day.
On the Food Network.
Stop it.
That's what it sounds like.
Bread and water. Actually, we were gone for about 8 weeks. We were gone for 8 weeks.
And did you tell people where you were? Did people know?
No, that's the thing about it. You can't even... You can just tell your family.
Did you tell your daughter?
Yeah, my daughter knew.
And did you keep it a secret? Did you tell anybody?
No. She didn't tell anybody.
So spooky, man.
So we were gone for like 8 weeks, and part of the filming was in New York and part of it was in Miami. And and so when we first started off, we had 15 finalists in 2 condos, and we were all 4 people to a room. And so we were in bunk beds, so it reminded me of when I was in the Navy. So I was kind of cool with it, but
I would not have been cool with it.
Yeah.
I would not have been cool with it
at
all.
Yeah, I mean, you got to do it. I mean, once you sign that contract,
it's done.
It's all on. So, and then we went to Miami. Then the people that made it to Miami, we were in... Just in hotel rooms.
All right. Well, at the end of the day, was it a good experience? Would you
absolutely,
do it again?
Absolutely. I'd do it again. It was definitely worth it. I mean, I got that experience. I got to, you know, get my brand on national TV for anybody who wants to elevate their brand. That's the big market to be on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's opening up a lot of doors for me. So, I'm, you know, my phone won't stop ringing. I'm doing, you know, personal chef all around the country, cooking
That's
demonstrations,
cool.
all
good.
Type of food and wine.
Do you have a website?
Yeah, my website is mmitchellthechef.com. Twitter is chefmitchell1, And I'm on Facebook, Chef Mitchell, if you want to check me out for sure.
Thanks so much for coming in today.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Good luck with everything. Keep in touch.
I didn't get a cocktail either, so I'm going to go over here and get one.
Oh, where's your cocktail?
Well, speaking of about me. What a great transition. Let's go back to Justin Sins. And Perry, why don't you step up to the mic?
First, wait, I just have to say, this cocktail is deadly.
This cocktail is awesome. What's it called again?
This is the Whiskey Smash with house-made infused bourbon.
It's really delicious.
Yes, I'm hoping Nikki will have more. All right, so Perry. Matchbox really, you know, the first time I was at Matchbox was the one down in Chinatown, and we had great pizzas and all that. Is this a reflection of the fact that you're adding locations and you want to have broader appeal to a different kind of audience?
I think a lot of different things. I mean, we started out as a 75-seat restaurant, you know, you mentioned in Chinatown. The nice thing about this is as we grow and talk about adding new units, we get talented people like Justin who come in and actually help with that effort.
Look at Justin preening. No, he just, like a cockatiel.
It's actually a peacock.
All right, mystery, take it easy. He slugged down two of those cocktails. So, but it is a really great team effort. And the thing is that people say, oh, you guys are expanding, or are you becoming a chain? And what we're actually doing now is we're giving the chefs a lot more autonomy. Again, the talented people that we have, say, look, get creative. We're not just going to sit and reproduce the things that we've done before. There are the things that we know work well in the menu. But as far as, culinary or the drinks, there are things that we might sell at a location on Capitol Hill that may be very different out in Rockville.
Well, wouldn't you also say that has to do, I mean, at least you're curtailing it to each neighborhood, right? I mean, seeing what people like. I mean, Rockville is the kind of people who are dining there. It's incredibly different than what you're finding on Capitol Hill. Wouldn't you say?
Somewhat. A lot of it just depends on what people order. In Capitol Hill, it might be a few more bistro items. Mm-hmm. We do get a lot of families in Rockville. Mm-hmm. So maybe some mini burgers and pizza. But at the same time, they really, everyone that we've seen, come in, they say, what is your special? People ask for the special before they even look at the menu. Mm-hmm. So, for us, we have some new stores coming online. We've got Matchbox at 14th and T, mm-hmm. and we have another one coming in Mosaic in Merrifield. And then another Ted's Bulletin, which
what
will be
isn't
here.
Going into Mosaic? That place is going to be
beautiful.
A monster.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's a monster. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. All right. Well, let me switch back to Justin. Justin, you got 45 seconds to describe the next drink. Go.
All right. We're going to move on to a sweet and summer refreshing cucumber-infused gin and tonic.
Yum.
Just a real simple twist on a classic cocktail. Should go down easy.
Don't you think there's something suspect about somebody at 11 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday? Somebody says gin and tonic and they go, yum!
I love gin and tonic.
I haven't had one yet today.
I don't trust the man that doesn't.
Yeah, really?
I guess I'm the designated driver today.
Yes, you are. Right. And every day.
All right, so you make that up and we've got an old friend sitting next to me right now. Michael Babin. Is the CEO and founder of Neighborhood Restaurant Group. Neighborhood Restaurant Group includes, along with Evening Star, that's celebrating its 15th anniversary, Two Rusticos, Vermilion, Buzz Bakery, Birch and Barley. What else am I missing?
Well, Birch and Barley and Church Key, Columbia Firehouse. Did you say Vermilion, Evening Star?
Evening Star. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tallulah.
Let's say it twice. It sounds
and
like
Red
you
Apron.
Have more.
Tallulah Eat Bar, Red Apron.
And a catering operation, too.
And a catering operation, that's right.
Not
bad. And Arcadia.
And a little wine shop.
We were
Arcadia.
Out of
Arcadia. Right. Wine.
We were there last weekend. So, let's just get the basics out here. From Friday, August 3rd to Sunday the 5th, Evening Star is going to host it's going to celebrate its 15th anniversary with 3 days of real rock and roll disco dancing and a big barbecue thing and all that.
Right, right.
But before we get to that, what possessed you to start this in the first place a million years ago?
Lack of judgment. one thing I didn't think is that I was getting into a new career. I thought, I'm going to own a bar.
What were you
down the street?
What were you doing?
I was lobbying at the time. I was going to Georgetown Law School in the evening when we opened the Evening Star. So it was really, get out of work, go to school, and then from 8 o'clock until 2 a.m. build out this restaurant.
I'm giving you the look.
And so what was in Del Rey when Evening Star opened? Was there anything there?
Del Rey was the part of Alexandria that if you had grown up in Alexandria, your parents did not let you go to.
Okay.
It was pretty dicey.
Sort of like Kensington.
Exactly.
Next door to the Evening Star, when we first opened, there was a convenience store that you know, pretty much only sold single beers. And there was a basically an outdoor bar outside. The guy who ran the counter would come out and literally call last call on Sundays at 4 o'clock. And everybody would rise up out of the bushes to come get their last last year. It was a different kind of neighborhood. It's changed dramatically.
Oh, dramatically.
Yeah, when you opened Evening Star, was that when did Planet Wine open?
Planet Wine opened about a year and a half later when we were able to take over the lease from that convenience store and turn it into a wine shop.
And when did you stop lobbying and lawyering and all that?
About 2 years after we opened the Evening Star, things were going well enough, and I had sort of fallen in love with the business and the people and decided, you know, this is what I want to do. So,
and how has the original feel of Evening Star evolved over the years? I mean, 15 years is a long time for a restaurant.
Yeah. Well, we put the Evening Star in place on, when I say it's a shoestring, that's probably doing, you know, giving too much credit to shoestrings. It was, there was nothing. We did every bit of it ourselves. So the way it evolved for the last 14 years was to decay. You know, we were patching it together with duct tape and you know,
have you been to my house? It's very similar.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It had a great patina to it, but it was sort of falling apart. So about 8 months ago, we decided to shut down for a month and a half and just redo it. So I think we really retained the character of the original, but things actually work now. The water comes out of the pipe when you turn the handle and
how,
you know,
nice.
Details like that. Right. So,
well, we were out there, I guess, right after you sort of debuted the renovation.
Yeah, I think in March. It was beautiful.
Well,
and
thank you.
You work with a certain artist. There's lots of really interesting pieces in there.
Yeah, we have a great design team. And part of one member of that is a guy named Rick Singleton here in town.
Well, don't you have to give a shout out to your wife, who's part of your design team?
Yeah, yes.
Hello.
Yeah, Catherine Haley.
You do want to be able to go home.
That's true, absolutely. Catherine is really the heart of the core of the design team. Is an interior designer, mostly does residential work, but she makes
Kat
some exceptions for us.
Just designed a child for you, too, didn't she?
She did, yeah. I think they're on their way here right
herself.
Now. You may get to meet her. Yeah,
exactly. Nothing to do with it. All right, because I want to make sure we have enough time. Can you kind of take us through everything that's happening in Evening Star?
Yeah, so this weekend on Friday, we've got a disco party upstairs in our number 9 lounge.
That's this Friday.
Yes, exactly, thank David. You. We did it with
you. Wait, there's a lounge upstairs?
Yeah, there is. A lot of people don't know that.
I didn't know that.
Because it used to be a closet.
A lot of people say I look like John Travolta.
On Saturday, we've got a big outdoor block party. So out barbecue, some debuts of some new local beers. And on Sunday, we're doing beignets and coffee free of charge out in the courtyard. To benefit.
Wait, did he say free of charge?
Yes, he did. How are you going to see there?
To benefit the Scholarship Fund of Alexandria. And that night, people can come in and get a fixed price meal for $19.97, the year that we opened the restaurant.
Right. So, oh, I love that.
Yeah,
that's
going to be
fun.
Cool. Yeah.
Now, is Tiffany doing the beignets?
Tiffany is if it's baked or involves flour, Tiffany is probably doing it.
Well,
so yes, she is doing
Tiffany McIsaac.
Yeah, she is. Tiffany McIsaac is. She runs Buzz Bakeries, but she also does the desserts and oversees the pastry program for all of the restaurants. So she works with every one of the chefs to make sure that restaurant's desserts reflect, you know, what that chef is doing in that moment.
There was a huge feature about her in the food section, right?
No, the Washington Post Kids section.
Oh, yeah.
Post,
that was
wonderful. A couple weeks ago.
Great. It was a great story. Art Culinaire did a big feature.
I was just going to say, I just saw it. Yeah. Art Culinaire, it's great.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Great.
Well, I do want to say this real quick because I am cheap, but one of the places I'm always willing to pop, when we did our son's birthday recently, we got all the cupcakes from Tiffany, and they're just mind-blowing.
I always get the cupcakes from Tiff.
Yeah, awesome.
I do want to talk about Jim Jeffords.
Yes, Jim Jeffords came in as the chef when we did the reopening.
Right.
He's a young guy.
Really talented.
He's from a small town in Georgia, worked at his grandparents' restaurant in Florida when he was growing up, but probably the only person I know who has had more different occupations than I have. You know, has worked for the sewer plant people in Georgia.
He washed his hands.
worked as a cattle rancher.
I really hope he washed his hands.
He's a pretty amazing guy and came to us out of the cities in kitchens. So with Eric Ziegel.
So Ziegel made him wash his hands.
Okay. Exactly. Ziegel taught him that.
And when you brought him in, did you want to change the menu around? Did you just sort of give him carte blanche? Like, how did you work with him to get what you wanted?
Well, you know, he brings a Southern sensibility to the menu. But, you know, as with all of our chefs, we really give them a lot of autonomy. We want them to do food that they are excited about, that they're passionate about. Mm. That, yeah.
And that's really good.
David just dug into one of Jim's half smokes with his house-made kimchi. So it's a really...
There's the baby!
Yeah, that's right. Oh. That's June. Catherine.
Nice. It's radio, it's theater of the mind. Sorry. Try and imagine what Sorry. Michael's
Very cute baby
looks
just
like.
Walked in. Right.
We got to take a break. Sorry.
We do. We're going to take a baby break. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie awesome. And the Beast. Yeah. We'll be right back.
Like farmers markets? None's better than the fabulous Central Farm Markets in downtown Bethesda, at Bethesda Elementary, and in Rockville's Mid Pike Plaza. Each has 40-plus vendors with huge selections of local natural meats, poultry, organic produce, cheeses, plus yummy pastries, pies, cakes, fresh breads, even seafood and more. Want prepared foods to go? They got that too. Bring the family, bring the dog to Central Farm Markets Sunday in Bethesda and Saturdays and Thursdays in Rockville. Visit centralfarmmarkets.com for details.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
Soon, this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school, beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma. Or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Join March for Babies to help make her steps possible.
March for Babies!
Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
The men and women of our National Guard and Reserve Forces are working hard on the battlefield and here at home. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve is working just as hard for them. For over 36 years, ESGR has paved the way for greater understanding between our Guard and Reserve Forces and their civilian employers, promoting a culture where all American employers support and honor the military service of their employees. Together, we all serve. To learn more, visit www.esgr.mil.
Star. Shine a little heaven on the
string. Yeehaw. Thanks, Andy.
We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and I've been stuffing my face on Jim Jefford's great food.
Wait, what are we eating? I know it's kimchi, and are these ready for
It's a house smoke that he makes in-house.
No, oh, so these are Jim.
These are Jim. This is Jim's.
Wow.
Yeah, and then his house-made kimchi.
Remember when?
Yeah.
Hawkeye Pierce used to say we're in deep kimchi?
Yeah.
That's where I'd like to be right now.
Really
All right, so... What's next for you guys? There must be another project. Well, you've got the one down near the stadium.
We have a busy year. I was telling somebody the other day, I kind of feel like I'm at the point on the roller coaster ride where you're 3 feet from the top, mm-hmm. about to go
Looking down.
We're going to open a brewery and restaurant near the ballpark in a great old building that used to be a boiler factory for the Navy. We're going to open the first...
Blue Jacket, right?
Yes, called Blue Jacket, and that's Greg Engert, Megan Parisi, Kyle Bailey, Eric Bergman from
Birch
and Barley.
Yeah.
All of these are things we've been working on for such a long time that it's going to be exciting to bring them to fruition. Tony Chittum is going to reopen the Iron Gate Restaurant, D.C.'s oldest.
I used to love it there. That's where
restaurant.
You took. It's on N Street. That's where
it's
you took
N
girls
Street.
To yeah. show them how sensitive.
Exactly. So
he never took me there. I just want to make that clear.
Totally insensitive.
That restaurant opened in 1923 and closed about a year ago. So there, we've got to do a lot of work to it. But
Great.
We're very
Piece
excited
of trivia,
about that.
And I know you know this, but that was the stables for General Nelson Miles, who's the one that found George Custer splattered all over the place.
Oh, believe me, I know it, because we're trying to figure out right now what to do with the stable partition and the hay troughs that are still in the space and that are all historic, and how are we going to integrate them into the design of the restaurant. So we're also going to be opening Red Apron, the first two locations.
14th Street, right?
The first one is going to be out at the Mosaic Project that you were just talking about.
The Monster Mosaic.
I know. Yeah, exactly. And the second one is going to be on D Street in Penn Quarter. So be in Penn Quarter.
Oh, I thought Is there something on 14th Street or no?
Well, maybe, but
okay,
we're still working on that. Yeah.
So D Street Penn Quarter, when's that one going to open?
D Street Penn Quarter, I believe, will be in about 6 months. But okay. I'm horribly bad with dates on openings.
We're not going to hold you.
Right. Well, Michael Babin, I will tell you this, and it has nothing to do with the fact that you're a sponsor of this show. I swear to God. No, so you've got some of the greatest restaurants, the easiest going, nicest menus. I mean, for a guy like me, Nikki is more, what are you, la-di-da. I love going in. I love the burgers.
I'm la-di-da.
I love the flatbreads at Birch and Barley. It's my favorite place. Well, Greg Eggert's going to be on the show next week, isn't he?
Yep, he is.
Yeah.
We have Greg coming in.
Wonderful.
And we have Megan on.
Yeah,
she talked about.
She's fantastic.
She's great. And, of course, Tiffany's a good friend.
Yes.
So, and Kyle.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely.
And we've got
Thank you.
We're just going to, what an easy, smooth segue, because now we're going to talk about kosher.
Wait, but before he goes, just give one last final shout out where people can find all the information, other than, of course, the list, areyouwanted.com, where else they can find out.
Go to eveningstarcafe.net. Everything is on there, and we hope to see you this weekend. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, David. Thank you.
All right. So, Paula Scheuer, we were trying to decide how to describe you. We decided, a Renaissance woman. You're a former attorney and speechwriter. You became a kosher pastry chef, then a best-selling author. You have your book called The Kosher Baker, 160 dairy-free desserts from traditional to trendy, and now you own Paula's Parisian Pastries Cooking School in Chevy Chase. What's next? You going to be an astronaut?
I don't know about that. I've been flying so much around the country for the last 2 years on the book tour. I don't know if I want to go any further than that.
Oh, now they're putting pastries in front of
you.
Oh,
yeah, they're putting the cookies in front of you.
Get your own radio show, folks. I'm telling you. So how did all this happen? How did you go from being an attorney to a kosher pastry chef?
You know, it wasn't a straight line. I'm definitely one of those people that takes opportunities when they present themselves. So I was working as a lawyer in D.C., married to my husband, who was a lawyer for the U.S. government and the U.S. Trade Representative's office, and they sent him to Geneva, Switzerland to work for the U.S. mission to the World Trade Organization. So we got to go there as diplomats, mm-hmm. and not so different from Julia Child, who was with her husband in France. I had a legal job there for 2 years, but then at some point I thought, hey, I'm living in Europe. I've always wanted to go to cooking school. I'm going to go to Paris and study pastry. So I schlepped my then, I don't know, 9-month, 10-month-old daughter with me, went to Paris.
For those of you out there that need a translator, schlepped means dragged.
Sorry about that. So I went to Paris. I went to pastry school really just for fun, like just to learn how to bake better. I wasn't planning on a new career. But then when I came back to Geneva, people would ask me to cater parties for them. And then somebody asked me to teach cooking classes there for the Jewish community, which I did in French, which was probably more comedy than actual, you know, education. And then when I came back here, I started
teaching. It's really hard to say schlep in French, I would have to imagine.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I think they may use the Yiddish term as well. You
right.
know, the French word apporter just like doesn't quite capture it.
Right.
So I came back here and then I had two kids when I came back and then I had twins. So it slowed me down a little bit, but ended up starting my cooking school in Chevy Chase, mm-hmm. where I teach cooking classes, and I also do bridal showers, birthday parties, cooking classes around the D.C. area. But now I'm traveling. I get to go all over the country now and teach classes,
and
which is really fun.
Where is your cooking school in
Just
Chevy
in my
Chase?
House. I teach in my house, but I'm more probably on the road than I am actually in Chevy Chase.
So how did you find time, though, for the Food Network's, what is it, the Sweet Genius program?
Well, I had auditioned for Food Network Star, and I'm actually glad I didn't end up getting on that because
no, Malcolm makes it sound terrible, doesn't it?
Yeah, the 8-week commitment. I don't think I could be away from my four kids for that long. So
sure you could.
Plus,
we have
I didn't
five.
Think I was going to be qualified to cook the shrimp and the crab and all that stuff. I thought that would have been great television, but I'm not sure it would have gotten me very far. But I assured the people when I auditioned that I would cook anything they put in front of me. So what was nice about Sweet Genius is it's like Chopped. It's like one of those one-day shows.
Right.
So I had 1 day of a profile shoot and a second day of competition, which mm-hmm. was, I don't know, 12, 13 hours long. But that was it. I just had to be in New York City for 2 days and then I was done.
And was that a good experience? I mean,
it was a fabulous experience.
Right.
It was one of the hardest things I've ever done, but also extremely rewarding. And I feel like it's, you know, when I get a couple years older, I'm not so young anymore, but not so old either. I just don't know if I would take risks like that personally and professionally. So I thought it was a great opportunity. And I taped the first show that they ever taped of that show, the first season. They aired
history.
Me. Yeah. It was a little bit disorganized. I spent a lot of time standing on duct tape waiting for something to happen.
Okay.
All right, let's now turn to
duct tape has
kosher.
Sort of been mentioned again on this show.
I'm gonna duct tape.
Yeah, people think television's so much fun and some aspects of it is a lot of fun, but you know, some, when you have to stand on duct tape and wait for something to happen for 30 minutes and you can't even scratch your head, it gets a little boring.
All right, now
it was fun.
I'm going to change this back to
kosher baking.
Kosher baking for people. Nikki knows this, but for the world and probably for me too. What's the difference between kosher baked goods and unkosher baked goods?
All right, well, there's two aspects to it. The first is kosher people do not mix milk and meat at the same meal. Mm-hmm. So if I have chicken or beef for dinner, I cannot have a cheesecake for dessert. So I developed a whole cookbook of dairy-free desserts so that kosher people could eat dairy-free desserts right after their meat-based meals.
Well, and I have to just piggyback on that. I think for a lot of people who bake, I love to bake. We do not keep kosher. Not using butter.
Or any dairy product.
Seems to be scary.
It is.
You can't create good baked goods without real butter.
Well, when I came back from my cooking classes in Paris to Switzerland and I wanted to make something after one of my Shabbat dinners, I realized I couldn't. So I started converting the desserts into dairy-free desserts using dairy-free margarine, soy milk. And I would say over the last 10 years, there are even more products that I can use to convert the dairy desserts into dairy-free that are really good, you know, good products.
Mm-hmm.
I find that margarine is softer, that part of margarine, which is dairy-free, is softer than butter. So I keep sticks in the freezer. So when I make the galette tart that I brought here today,
right,
I take those sticks right out of the freezer and I cut it right into flour, and I can make a great pastry crust with that.
Mm.
I mean, I'm definitely the mad scientist in the kitchen, and there are definitely desserts that I try to make dairy-free that end up in the garbage, but I created a whole book of, you know, dairy-free.
Right, so this is The Kosher Baker. Now, this came out 2 years ago.
Exactly. It's about to celebrate its second birthday in August, and I'm already working on a new book of more holiday desserts, but kosher people can also have dairy desserts after a dairy meal, so my next book is going to have a dairy chapter,
right,
and it's really fun to
but
write.
But if you're
that,
not a kosher person, I mean, you can be a Roman Catholic, the question is, Are kosher baked goods less fattening, better for you?
Well, first of all, home-baked desserts are always going to be better for you. Some of the dairy-free margarines that I have to use have a little bit more fat than butter. It really depends on the brand. But, you know, I do a lot of gluten-free and sugar-free baking as well because I wrote my cookbook for the whole Jewish community. So, the basic thing is there are so many people out there that are allergic to dairy who can't.
Well, that's very true.
So many people out there. One of my friends bought 30 copies of the book as Christmas gifts 2 years ago for all her friends who were lactose intolerant.
Is that how you became a best-selling author? That one?
I'm happy for people to buy the book. Hanukkah, Christmas, doesn't matter
right,
to me.
Anyone out there with 30 friends, I want you to keep listening.
Now, I have a question. I asked you this off-air, but I thought it was really interesting. I have noticed, I mean, because when I do bake for Passover, which is not an easy thing.
Not at
they
all.
They always call for vanilla sugar. And I didn't understand why? So now I know because you told me, but can you educate us on that?
Yeah, vanilla sugar is basically an infusion of vanilla bean into sugar, which sits there for, I guess, about a week or so to give the sugar a vanilla flavor.
Right.
On Passover, we cannot eat any grain products other than the matzah and matzah crumbs. So pure vanilla extract cannot be used because it has alcohol in it. And as a result, they take the vanilla beans and put it in sugar, and they sell vanilla sugar so we can put that in our desserts and get the vanilla flavor.
Okay, and we can't use vanilla. This is what I didn't know. You can't use vanilla extract during Passover because it's made with grain alcohol.
It's made with grain alcohol.
This is why I'm going to go to hell, if we believed in hell, because I can't keep track of all this jazz.
Yeah, but Passover is the greatest challenge, and my next book will have a lot of Passover desserts, but most of them are gluten-free, which is a lot of fun, and there are so many people out there.
But is it hard to do gluten-free and dairy-free? I mean, that just seems like a double whammy.
In some ways it is, but when I was in cooking school in Paris, we spent so much time baking with nut flour, so I was able to use those skills of creating like desserts with nuts instead of using flours.
Sorry, we're having a fight.
We're having a conversation over here.
Go right ahead.
Sorry
I can
that.
Talk all day.
Just trying to get
I'm
rid
good.
Of Nikki.
No, you can give her something to
no,
eat.
No, she was
it'll
just gone. She was
down
in New York for
want.
4 days, and I was batching it. It was not bad, actually. It was a
neither
lot of
was
fun.
My trip to New York.
Oh, shut
so.
Up. All right.
Yeah, I'm
so
getting up there this
tell
week.
Tell everybody how to find you on the internet.
So you can find me on my website is paulaspastry.com, and I also blog at thekosherbaker.blogspot.com, and I have recipes for both food and desserts on the website, and the book can be found on Amazon and lots of bookstores as well. And the other thing I will tell people out there is that if you make desserts from this book, you can make them with butter and you can use milk instead of soy milk and make
so
these desserts.
So it's completely interchangeable?
Anybody can use it, yeah. Once I converted the desserts to dairy-free, when I go back again, I find it really easy to do that.
Okay, great. All right,
all right,
Paula, thank you so much for bringing in all these delicious goodies today.
Well, enjoy them.
Well, I inhaled
I know.
You have to try the blueberry scones. Those are dairy-free.
I just swallowed one whole like a shark. All right, so we're going to slide right into more food. Emily Sprisler is the chef owner.
She's freezing. She's all covered up. Right? She's freezing over there.
I'm
freezing
such cold. A wimp. It's summer. She's
come
the
into my kitchen.
Chef owner of the new Mayfair and Pine. Actually, we're going to go to a commercial in a couple of seconds, but just very briefly, why don't we start off with the basics. Tell everybody where it is and kind of what to expect.
Mayfair and Pine is located at 2218 Wisconsin Avenue in the lovely Glover Park area. And we are an American family-friendly gastropub. And we have been open 8 days today.
Yay! Congratulations.
It's like having a newborn.
It's exactly like having a newborn. It's the same.
Mommy.
No, instead of mommy, I'm the chef.
All right. Well, we're going to come back in a sec, and we'll hear more about it.
Absolutely. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be back in just a minute.
The patio is now open at Founding Farmers in Potomac. Dining al fresco in Montgomery County was never better. It's an idyllic setting, away from traffic, comfortable seating in a luscious garden setting. Dine al fresco on cool evenings around the fire pit. Founding Farmers in Montgomery County, just off Route 270 at Montrose Road West. A delicious getaway for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and weekend brunch. Founding Farmers, award-winning menus of great scratch-made foods with ingredients from American family farmers and from across the region. See the menu at wearefoundingfarmers.com.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Welcome to today's lottery draw. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon family groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-Al-Anon.
On Foodie and the Beast with David Nikki Nellis. Emily Sprisler's here. She's got a new restaurant called Mayfair and Pine. I'm already shoving her food into my face.
What'd you bring us this morning?
I brought you a sample of my beef Wellington bites and some lamb burgers and then my dessert, the Zuccotto.
The Zuccotto looks gorgeous. Oh my God, it's beautiful.
Come back often, Emily.
Okay, yeah. So okay. Can you tell us a little bit? So you were on Top Chef. Like, give us some of your history. Like, let's hear about you.
Well, yeah, I was on Top Chef like a million and a half years ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've just really been cooking and hanging out. And
what brought you to Top Chef?
They did. Okay. So it just kind of was one of those things.
And where were you then? Because you
I was in Vegas at the time.
I was going to say you weren't in D.C.
I wasn't in D.C. I had lived in San Francisco for 4 years and then got headhunted to move to Vegas because, you know, Vegas was exploding at the time. And they were pulling, you know, they were going all over the place finding culinary talent. And I was one of the people that got pulled, you know, to move there and live the American dream, I suppose.
Was that Michael Mina?
For Michael Mina at Knob Hill. So okay. I was actually, the executive chef was Sven Mead, and he was like this crazy German guy, and he was awesome. So it was a
Wait,
ton of fun.
His name was Sven?
Sven.
And he's German?
A little bit, yeah.
He's confused.
Yeah.
So, okay, so then you did that, and then how did you get back here to D.C.?
Oh, you know, we were living in Vegas. We had just had my husband and I had just had our baby, and I had it, and he stood by, you know, and watched.
Yeah, we can share notes about that later.
Yeah. And then, you know, the economy imploded, and, you know, there was no jobs, there was no people coming to the casinos, so we were just kind of economic refugees, and, you know, I said, you know, just like any other time in my life, it's like, we got to go back to D.C. Mm-hmm. You know, DC's always there. So here
and
we
then,
are.
But instead of working for somebody else, how did you go about doing your own restaurant?
You know, I just decided that it was time that I stopped, you know, playing the game by somebody else's rules. And mm-hmm. I put, you know, my nose to the grindstone. You know, 8 banks rejected me. I lost 4 different locations, but I just refused to give up. I was just really sick after, you know, the whole economic meltdown. Like, if my life is going to go down the tubes, it's going to be my fault.
Wait, there was an economic meltdown?
There was. Everywhere outside of D.C. So...
All right, so
I just got sick of it, and I said, you know what, if something's going to happen, if I'm going to lose my house, the next time it's actually going to be my fault.
Okay, that's fair. So now, what made you decide to do the concept that you did? Like, why the name, and when you say gastropub, what do you mean by that?
When I say gastropub, I mean a very family-friendly, neighborhood-friendly gathering spot. Mm-hmm. And gastro, obviously, because the focus is on the food.
Right.
So, you know, I took a lot of inspiration from the British gastropub movement. I've mm-hmm. traveled over there extensively and all that fun stuff. And I just, you know, they do it right.
So what's your beer program like?
My beer program is actually where it's growing right now. I'm working with Andrew Stover from Vino 50 and mm-hmm. our GM, Robert Russell. And we're really trying to build up. We got really excited though, because of DC Brow. And I really hadn't kind of kept up with a lot of stuff in D.C. when I was on the West Coast. And I was just so excited to find out that there were people in D.C. brewing. I mean,
there are. Next week is D.C. Beer Week, isn't it?
Yeah.
The next week is we're doing a whole show.
That's
DC
so cool.
Beer Week.
Have you seen the beer glasses that they have? The DC Brow glasses? Leave it to a DC crowd. I mean, like, we've got DC Hardcore.
Right.
Now we've got DC Beer. So
it's very cool.
It is.
We love it.
It's very, very cool. And so let's talk about some of the things on your menu. Like, what can people look forward to trying?
Well, they can look forward to trying, obviously, the Beef Wellington Bites, which mm-hmm. is, you know, just a ton of fun. And it was... you know, I just love mushrooms.
I think
and
I
meat.
Better try this.
And
you're
going to have the lamb burger.
It's delicious.
We also have a candied apple salad, which is something I've been working on for a while. You know, I'll figure out a way to get, you know, to actually make salad fun. Mm-hmm. I put candy in it.
That sounds good. that's a way to get the kids to
exactly.
eat their veggies.
And, you know, my husband and I have been working on this Thanksgiving sandwich off and on that started as just a way to use up leftovers. And then it really just took off and it kind of has its own life. It's almost like having another...
So is your husband in the kitchen with you?
He's not in the kitchen with
me,
no.
Okay, I didn't think so. Okay, but
we kind of split shift it. You know, I'm there at night and he's there during the day. And sometimes... we have a young son, so sometimes he's Mr. Mom.
Well, everybody's got to take that role once in a while.
Right.
Except for me.
Yeah. Except for you. Well, you know, if you've got some time,
no.
I pay well, and I'll feed you.
Listen to me. We've done our bit. We have 5 kids. I'm done. All right. Let's just make sure everybody knows where the restaurant is.
The restaurant is located at 2218 Wisconsin Avenue Northwest, Washington, D.C.
Right across from the Whole Foods-ish.
I have a better landmark, but
she
I'm
does.
Not allowed
okay,
to
we can say
it.
Good Guys.
Good
okay,
guys.
I'm right near Good Guys, everyone. Woo!
All right.
So you can have dinner first and then go to Good Guys.
And I just want to be clear.
Or...
want to be clear with our audience, U.S. Foods has nothing to do with it.
Okay.
All right.
So they tell us.
That's right.
Emily, thank you so much for coming.
All right.
Thanks
so
for having me.
Let's talk to Justin and Perry again. We got one more drink that you're cooking up over there, yes?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to drink our way out of this show.
Yeah, finish that bite of, what is that?
It's delicious.
It's a lamb burger, isn't it?
Oh, a summer fruit galette. They're eating a summer fruit galette over there. You're eating lamb burgers, they're eating summer fruit galettes over there. That part of the studio is on dessert. Okay, so what's next?
Well, to sort of, you know, complement the feta in that burger, we're going to spice it up with a jalapeno margarita. It's house-infused jalapeno tequila, a little splash of Grand Marnier, a splash of OJ, a little bit of bitters. This is far and away everybody's summer favorite. It's delicious.
Well, you're speaking my language because, for me, I do not like sweet drinks at all, but I love a kick in my drink. I love something spicy.
Well, and this kind of sneaks up on you, too.
It's
a hot little kick in the
Whoa.
Back, yeah.
Apparently
yeah.
not. Apparently
well,
it's
I didn't
hot.
See it. Smack me right in the forehead.
So now, with this new drink program, is this available now and it's available at all Matchbox?
Yeah, we rolled it out first at Chinatown, rolled it out at Capitol Hill a few weeks after that, and just recently rolled it out at Rockville.
It'll be what hits day
now
one.
Now people are rolling out of Rockville, right?
From what I understand, it's a wheelbarrow parade coming out of the restaurant up there.
And how often, I mean, will you try to make this more seasonal? Will it change?
Absolutely. I mean, we're like I said, we're continuing to push. I've got about a half dozen barrels with stuff married.